Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Ready? How many love recaps? Recaps are good, I'm telling you. Reformers, confronting ungodly strongholds. Reformation. Now, reformation means the improvement or amendment of what is wrong or corrupt or unsatisfactory. The improvement or amendment, reforming, taking something and realigning it, correcting something. A revolution is an overthrow or repudiation and a thorough replacement of an established government or political system through people governed, usually sudden. And suddenly, God came to his temple. How do we know God's going to come to his house? How do we know judgment's going to begin in the house of God? And if it begins here, wow, what's it going to be like for those on the outside? I don't want a revolution. I want reformation. I'm not here to overthrow something by a material or through carnal force. We're here to deal with things spiritually and at its root. Because every ugly thing that we see, everything that is manifested as evil and wicked that we can see with our senses, all of it has a spiritual root. All of it does. And so we want to come against those things, and we want to be a people who are reformers. We want to be a people who turn the hearts of people and a generation back to God. So we're talking about reform. Last week I told you about the only difference between the French Revolution and the English Reformation. They said, and this was French sociologists who studied this, and they said the only definable difference they saw was the preaching of the reformers. The preaching of people like John and Charles Wesley and many of those Methodists. That's pretty powerful stuff. That shows me that historically we have seen that culture can be changed. The godly really can change a nation. The godly in the land, those are God's true heroes and the people that he's going to work through and he's going to breathe through. William Irwin Thompson, he said, "Idealistic reformers are dangerous because their idealism has no roots in love, but is simply a hysterical and unbalanced rage for order amidst their own chaos." Sounds like American politics to me. A lot of idealism and not a lot of practice and not a lot of this and that. But anyways, we don't want to be like that. And I tell you, whatever we're doing, it must be rooted in love. The only thing that matters is faith, but faith must be expressing itself and rooted and grounded in love. Thomas Brackett reads that one of the greatest delusions in the world is the hope that the evils of the world are to be cured by legislation. And that is so wrong. I tell you, it was Bruce Coburn. How many remember Bruce Coburn? He was the guy who said, "If I had a rocket launcher, I'd make those people pay." Anyways, you remember that one rocket launcher song? How many are old enough to remember that one? He had another song. He said, "Trouble with normal is it always gets worse. Boom, boom, boo-doop." How many remember that one? Just. If a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? Yeah, he was one of those fun guys, kind of Canadian philosophical kind of songwriter. But it is, you know, the trouble with normal, if you allow things just to be normal, things left to themselves get messy. How many know that if you had a big patch of land and you didn't till it or take care of it or do anything, you'd come back a month later, it would be full of weeds. Why? Because you didn't care for it. You didn't take care of it. Things left to themselves break down. It's the second law of thermodynamics. All energy dissipates. If you don't add something to it, you don't promote it in some way, or give some energy to it, it's going to break down and fall apart. And the trouble with normal is it always gets worse, and you're not going to change things through legislations. James Cardinal Gibson, he said, "Reform must come from within, not from without. You cannot legislate for virtue." George Bernard Shaw, he said, "The best reformers the world has ever seen are those who commence on themselves." Say amen. Amen. Don't apply this sermon to your neighbor, apply it to you. Johann Casper, he said, "He who reforms himself has done more towards reforming the public than a crowd of noisy, impotent patriots." James J. Walker. You remember J.J., don't you? J.J. Walker? Not the same guy. Yeah. "A reformer is a man who rides through a sewer in a glass-bottom boat." Amen. I'll tell you, that's some good stuff right there. And you know what? That's I'm not trying to dismiss or speak negatively about this community, because I want to see this community totally redeemed. I want to see this community transformed. You know what? And I'm not here to tell this community, you're sick. You people are miserable. I'm not here to tell them that. I'm here to tell them good news. You know what? There's a God who is ready to redeem and transform and change your whole experience. And I reckon I want to be where God's most needed, don't you? I want to be where his heart is. I want to be where true religion can be manifest. Susan B. Anthony, the good old suffragette, she said, cautious, careful people, always casting about to preserve their reputation and social standing, never can bring about reform. Those who are really earnest must be willing to be anything or nothing in the world's estimation. Can you say amen? Good stuff. Apostle Paul was a great reformer. Here's a sentence of awesome reform in Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all in Christ Jesus. You're one. Now, you might not think that means much, but that was in a day when there was great division between Jew and Gentile. There was great division between a slave and a free man. There was great division between a woman and a man. It may not seem much to you now, but Paul was speaking words and triumphing and being a champion of incredible reform in his day. And if you're a believer, you are called to change your world. Wow. Thank you. Ephesians 3, we read the whole of Ephesians 3, but it says that the intent now, the purpose of God redeeming us and bringing us into relationship with him, is that now, through to principalities and powers in high places, he might make known through the church his manifold wisdom. You know, God cannot make known his wisdom. God cannot align the world under the headship of Christ unless he does it through the church. If we don't embrace the call of God to be reformers, if we don't understand what that is and begin to apply ourselves as reformers, the will of God will not be accomplished in the earth. Oh, no, his will will always be done, Pastor. No, it won't. God will always have to seek a generation that will rise up, dig wells, dig deep, and transform and revolutionize their world. People who will go into the valley of Baca and dig a well and turn it into a stream of life. That's the only way it's going to happen, is through the body of Christ, through people like you and me. But if we don't understand, if we think all there is for us to know Jesus and then sneak out the back door before it all gets ugly, if that's your eschatology, you're never going to embrace your call to be a reformer. God didn't redeem you so that he could just transform your little world and get you to heaven. God redeemed you not to get you to heaven, but to get heaven into earth in and through you. And to reveal the principalities and powers in high places, his mind, his heart, his will, and to bring all these things under the alignment of the headship of Jesus Christ. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See that brother waving at me in the back row, pushing me forward. Jesus. Reformers, come on. Cheryl talked about, I will be the Lord's person. An amazing word on Reformation. It's on the webpage. You can listen to it. Lays out a brilliant definition of what it means. John Crowder said, the coming reformers and reformation will be one of love and power. An apostolic reformation that restores the element of the supernatural to the daily lives of believers. Not the supernatural to those times when we gather in church and I get to lay hands on people, but every single aspect of your daily life. Your life is constantly unexplainable. Unexplainable. Not unexplainable because it's miserable. Not unexplainable because you can't seem to get it right. But unexplainable because everywhere you go, there's cream and there's honey and there is a flow of the river of God's purpose in life. Hello! Last week we talked about the Welsh revival, and those are my roots. Those are this fellowship's roots. That was a revival like none other. They've written about that revival. The world has never seen a reformation like that. There's been revivals, there's been renewals, there's been restorations, but that was a revival that literally reformed society. That was a revival where the jails were emptied, the courts were emptied. I mean, they had to retrain the animals who were working in the mines because they didn't know anything else but cusses. And when they said, come, little donkey, help me, they were like looking at him like, who are you? I mean, my own father-in-law, when he came home after he was born again, the dog looked at him like, who are you? And, I mean, it was his own pet, you know, used to kick him around the house regularly. Then when he walked in the house born again, he went, who are you? I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Evan Roberts, he got a passion for God, and Evan Roberts cried out, Lord, bend me. Lord, bend me. And he had those four pillars of his message was confess all known sin. Deal with and get rid of anything that is doubtful in your life. Be ready to obey the Holy Spirit instantly. He was such a teacher and a preacher of the Holy Ghost. He was somebody who moved in the supernatural, moved in powerful, accurate words of knowledge. He believed the Holy Ghost, and an intimacy with the Holy Ghost was so important. And he said, you must confess Christ openly. And that's what we talked about last week, how that type of renewal, that's not just, wow, wasn't that nice then? I mean, that's a little picture of what can be. And I know that of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So if there was something gooder then, it should be gooder now. We should never see it went from glory to ugly to glory to ugly. We should be going from glory to glory. We are deceived if we think we should fall back in a malaise of flesh and meaningless life. We should be going from glory to glory in the fullness of all that God has called us to. Proverbs 21 verse 22 says, a wise man scales the city walls of the mighty, and he brings down the stronghold in which they trust. A wise man attacks that city and he tears down the ideologies. He tears down the mindsets. He tears down the institutions and every spirit behind those things. He tears them down. All that they trust in. A wise man. How many want to be wise? A wise man scales that city walls. A wise man goes into culture. A wise man knows how to go into the areas, the ideologies that have set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And a wise man knows how to ascend there and tear them down that the glory of God might come into expression. Did you get that? See, if we think let's just keep holding services and let's just do a few more services and one of these days, just one more service and bing, we'll get there. I'm all for services, and I hope they're changing you and changing me. But in those services, there's a cry from the Spirit of God to get revelation on your heart so that you would go into the world and you would get vision and revelation on the substructures and the things that are upholding and propping up evil, and you'll tear them down that the glory of God might come in. Yeah. It's not enough just to do church. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, it says that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have mighty weapons. Everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, we have weapons to tear that down and to bring the entrance of God into every circumstance and situation. Jesus, if you want to change the world, you must confront the ideas in the world. You want to change the world? You cannot change the world with a gun. If it's come to that, you are a pitiful thing. If you think that the only way we're going to turn this around is by force, that should be the very last resort. I do believe there's times for a just war when you got to really come against something gross and evil that refuses to submit. But you know what? If that is it, eventually, if we're going to see change, if we're going to see transformation, there must be the introduction of an ideology. There must be the introduction of a way, of a purpose, of a purposeful way of life that so supersedes the ideas that the world is working with that they will so quickly embrace it and step into a new realm. Jesus Christ was a radical reformer. Jesus Christ came into the world and he didn't have a gun. He didn't do anything. He didn't shoot anybody. He did kick over some tables and make a whip and beat a few people up. He did do that. He did get a little freaked out the way they were treating the house of God. He's making that whip there and his disciples are like, what are you doing there, Jesus? Oh, making a whip. I'll bet she's ticked off at Peter again. Going to give him. But he got a little move that time. But you know what? Jesus came, and in John it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only. How did God want to change the world? I love that the writer and the Holy Spirit said the Word, the Logos, became flesh. Because you know what the Logos is? It's a new idea. It's a new concept. There is a concept that came out of heaven that so supersedes every concept in this realm. There is an idea that came out of heaven. It's such a good idea. It's going to replace every false way of thinking in this earth. There is an idea that came out of heaven, and it is so powerful. It's going to revolutionize every other thing. That's why, you know what? Jesus could die. He could die, and he could be raised from the dead, and all of that had to be done for our redemption. But you know what? They might have killed Jesus or thought they could, but they couldn't kill the idea. They couldn't kill the message. They couldn't kill the fact that now Jesus is risen. Now go tell everybody the good news. We have a message. We have an ideology that is so superior to every single ideology that the world works with. And yet we're just hanging on here. The despised few barely breaking through. Oh, I can't wait for another revival. I'm feeling just low. I'm feeling a little burnt out. I need another revival meeting. Get over yourself. You got the best message the world has ever known. You don't have good news. You should be good news. He didn't say go preach the good news. He did say that, but he said go there and be a witness. He didn't say do witnessing. Be a witness. Live out of the goodness of the glory and let it be such a powerful revelation of the glory. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the one and only. The same way happens today. The word dwells in us. That very same word is manifest in the community, and they all behold the glory of God. We are a people of reformation. Okay, I've got about 500 more slides. Jesus, help us, Lord. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus, amen, come on, you should be reading Titus. Titus, one of my favorite pastoral places, you know. Titus 3:10, memorized that a long time ago. Titus 3:10, warn a divisive person once, warn him twice, third time have nothing to do with him. If you were a pastor, you'd have memorized that a long time ago. Titus, just a little epistle there. Takes you a minute to find it, because if you haven't read your Bible much, the pages are still glued together. Titus chapter 3, come on, tell me you're there, say amen. All right, chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But, see, we used to be like that. That's the way you were. You were under the influence. Say under the influence. Everybody's under the influence of something. Verse 4, but after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior was toward man appeared, not by works of my righteousness, but because of what he has done. According to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Once I was under the influence of the devil. Once I was controlled and manipulated by the spirit of the air. But now, because of the grace of God, not because of anything I've done, but because of what he did, he has brought me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now I'm under the influence of the kingdom of heaven. Arr! Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, some fantastic stuff. And you hath he quickened. You were once dead in your trespasses and sin. In time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Why are they disobedient? Because they're under the influence. Why do sinners sin so good? Because they're sinners. We need them to smarten up and we can have freedom and liberty. No! We need them to get saved. We need them to see the new concept, the new idea. We need them to get a revelation of the glory of God. Times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now works in children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But, say but. But God now, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I mean, he loved us so much he can't help himself. Even when we were dead in our sin, even when we were full of reproach, even when we were enemies of God, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He raised us up. He quickened you from the dead. He made you alive. He raised you up together with him to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made you alive, he raised you up, and he gave you joint seating in the heavenly realm with Jesus Christ himself. I mean, there's a really good message. I mean, you were miserable, you were deceived, you were under the power and the sway of the devil, but Now you've been made alive. You've been raised up with Christ Jesus, and you are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Wow, that's a good word. But if that's all you got, you got to know that he wants you to reign from there. He wants you to rule from there. He wants you to dominate from there. He wants you to dominate your workplace. He wants you to dominate your school. He wants you to dominate in your family. He wants you to dominate in your neighborhood. How many are actually trying to put any of these sermons into practice? That means if there's a contrary spirit in your workplace, you come against it in the name of Jesus, and it has to go. Has to go. You can command the blessing of God on your employer, on your employment. You can walk in this kingdom life. It isn't just a hope so. It isn't just good news. It is the news of the kingdom, and it works. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. We've been set free. Say free. Problem is, too many people's goal in life is just to get free. Oh, I'm struggling to get free, Pastor. I'm just trying to get free. And the church is just that refuge. It's just that little well in the wilderness where I get to come after the world has beat me up and battered me. And then I get to come to church on Sunday. And oh, it starts a little miserable. But after you beat me over the head a few times, I say, praise Jesus. And then it's a little longer. And then the worship gets going. And holy, oh my God, I'm starting to lift. I can feel it now. Oh, it's going up my leg, going up my leg. Oh, it's got my hip. Oh, it's got both hips. Oh, thank you. We need assistance. Wow, I was having a real glory meeting right there. Man, that was so good. I need a handkerchief. Throw me a handkerchief. Jesus. Glory, glory, I feel it coming on me. Oh, Jesus. Let the organ play a little bit there. Oh, Jesus. Then I go back in the world, get all miserable, and then can't wait for Sunday again. Oh, drag me. How you doing, sister? Oh, it's been a rough week. It's been a rough week, I tell you. Devil been chasing me all over creation. Oh, my God. Holy Mackinac. The biggest offense to the cross is miserable believers. You know, a confused Christian is a contradiction. An unhappy Christian is a contradiction. I've been successfully unhappy, then you're rebellious. But under the circumstances, there's the problem. You're under the circumstances, and I'm seated with him in heavenly realms. You don't know where you're seated. You came to the banquet, and you're still, where's my seat? Where's my seat? Did they forget what's coming? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many can endure the rest of the sermon? How many can welcome the rest of the sermon? How many are just so excited about the rest of the sermon? All right, that's good enough. We got three or four. We have been set free from every, say every. We have been, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you're not free, it's because you're ignorant. My people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't think you're free, you won't be free. If you are continuing to walk in bondage, it's because you have accepted a lie and you're not living in your inheritance. Hello? Hello? Send me an email. Do something. If you're ugly, that's fine. Send me an email. I'll delete it. We've been set free from every ungodly influence so that we can now enforce the influence of the kingdom of God. We are now under the influence of Holy Ghost so we can expose, tear down strongholds of the enemy and manifest the good news of the kingdom. Oh, I feel like I want to rumble. Are you ready to rumble? I guess it's let's get ready to rumble. I read the text already. It's in 2 Chronicles 26. It's all about Uzziah. Now Uzziah became the king and he restored the borders to their proper places. Say restored. He restored the borders to their proper places. He repossessed key places that the enemy had taken from Judah. And the enemy was no longer able to influence the people of God through these strongholds. Can you say amen? Amazing. I want you to know that I preached this sermon 15 years ago. Over at 640 Grosvenor Avenue. I was way ahead of my time. There's seven areas of restoration that they walk through. I can't believe it. I mean, I got the notes from years and years ago, and people are writing books about this today. I had no idea it was a book. Did you know that I preached on Jabez's prayer before Mr. Wilkinson put it out? I was like, my God, I had no idea that was a book either. But now they're talking about all these seven mountains, and seven mountains are all good, but I've never heard anybody preach on this. It's my own. I might turn this into a book unless somebody hears it on the web and steals it from me. Truth is, there's no revelation except God gives it to us anyway, so nobody's that smart. Number one, there's seven key strongholds that this guy restored. He restored the proper boundaries for the people of God, and he took back seven key places. Really cool. He took back a place called Elath, and Elath was a key city port. And you see, the enemy took that port from them because it didn't want Israel to have the ability to trade, didn't want Israel to have the ability to do business, didn't want Israel to have the ability to have strength in commerce. And you see, the enemy wants to take business out of the hands of believers. And you know why he wants to do that? Because he knows if he can do that, he can keep you poor. He wants to keep you from being successful and keep you from prospering. And religion has been the ugliest tool in the hand of the enemy to do that, because people have been teaching for a long time, Christ was poor, you should be poor. Being poor is next to godliness. Being poor is rebellion. Because the kingdom of God says that you don't have to be poor no more. That's the truth. But you know what? If you receive that lie and you're not listening on God and you're not saying, I refuse to have that stronghold alive in my life. I refuse to allow the enemy to encroach on my finances. I refuse to be in a place where I'm not prospering. I command in the name of Jesus, I'm taking back that stronghold. I will not be in a place of lack. That was the first one he took back. The first one when he became king, he right away said, we're going to go get that city port and we're going to take that back. We're going to take back that place of commerce. We're going to trade because I got a lot of dreams. I got a lot of plans. And I need a lot of dojo to get done the stuff I want to do. I want to build some towers, dig some wells. I want to expand our boundaries. I want to raise up a mighty military. I want to be known as a great man in the earth. Therefore, we better get some money, honey. We better get some dojo. We better get some smack, Jack, because it's going to take some money to get it done. How do you spell vision? M-O-N-E-Y. And if you have a vision, it's going to cost you money. Why are you shouting at me? Because you look dull today. I'm just trying to help you out. Key City Port, they wanted to take it back. He took it back because they were going to be the people who influenced. I got Jehovah Jireh. God Almighty is my provider. I will not be stuck in a place where I'm not prospering in every area of my life. Can somebody say amen? Come on, let's take back Elath. We're not going to be broke. We're going to prosper. We're going to be successful. And everything I put my hand to, it shall be blessed. Arr! Number two, he took back the stronghold of Gath. Now, Gath is the seat of reason. Gath was Goliath's hometown. Gath was a place of intimidation. Gath is that place where they'll come and say to you, oh, come now, be reasonable. What do you mean you get revelation at night? You talk to angels. What do you mean you got that strategy from the throne room? What do you mean by that? What do you mean you expect God to heal your cancer? What do you mean you expect God to cause a breakthrough in your finances? What do you mean by that? Tell you, if you're not living in the realm of nonsense, you don't need God. It says we live by faith, not by sight. We don't live in the realm of sight. We live in the realm of nonsense. And if you're not confessing a little bit of nonsense, Goliath, this place of reason, has stood in front of you and said, yes, but I mean, we have to live in reality, Pastor. That's the voice of reason. That's the voice that would say, this little boy can't kill that giant. Well, you know what? That might be true in the physical realm, but I'm not operating out of the physical realm. I'm operating out of the resources of the heavenly realm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If it's reasonable. No! It has to be nonsense. It has to be unreasonable. I can do all things. I mean, you've got giants standing in front of you. You got that place of reason standing there. We've got ugly, rotten humanism that's standing in the face of our kids and teaching our kids all kind of stupidity. Oh, come on, creationism, my God. I mean, you really believe that God could create everything in a week? I mean, that's unreasonable. God can do anything he wants. But you know what? Our kids get bombarded with reason. They get bombarded with the things of this world. And they're at that seat of reason. It tries to bombard your desire and your passion for the supernatural. Go to number three. I'm losing the crowd quickly. Number three, Jabna. Jabna is a place of satanic harassment. And I tell you, when you look at it, the first mountain was a place of business and finance. The second mountain is a place of education and a place of reason. They're trying to educate you out of the supernatural. This is a place of satanic harassment. I call this the media. The media is harassing you. The media is always propping up ungodly stuff. And the media, and this place, Jabna, means to build by, it's built by the powerful. Nah, Jab or Yah, nah, God built powerfully. And it literally means to redo it, and it can also mean to twist. So there is Jabna, there is a place of satanic harassment, there is a place where truth is being twisted and people are being messed up, and there is a media that is ungodly and it needs to be confronted and brought under the authority of God. Well, we'll just pray about it. No! Somebody here's got to take some courses on filmmaking and recording. And somebody's got to start saying, I'm going to go work for CFPL. I'm going to go work for a broadcast company. I want to be the nightcast person. I want to be, I don't even know who the people are. I want to be Fred or Bob or Sue who's on the TV first thing in the morning spouting off their stupidity. I want to be that person, and I will cause it to go through a filter of divine love. You have a responsibility to reform culture, and you're not going to do it just by going to church every Sunday. You're going to do it by taking the gifts, callings, and abilities God has given you and using them in the world you live in. I just want to do church and go camping on the weekend. Yikes. I mean, this sounds like a lot of work, Pastor. You bet it is. And you don't want to get to heaven and have God say, what did you do with the grace I gave you? Well, I didn't know you wanted me to do all that. I was crying out to you all the time. I had Pastor Carl shouting at you every Sunday. I didn't know. You've got gifts and abilities. And you know what? You're going to be a steward of those things. Whether you like it or not, you're going to hold accountability for it too. Oh, thanks, Pastor. Needed that. Jesus, hallelujah. Jabna, we want to take back that place. We want to take that place back. We want the Holy Spirit and all truth to come forth. Let's go on to number four. There's only seven, so it's all right. We'll be out by five. Ashdod. Ashdod was a place of idolatry and prostitution. Ashdod, to me, represents the whole entertainment realm. The whole entertainment realm right now is full of idolatry. I mean, I know women sitting on the front row. I'm not going to say who they are or anything. But I tell you, if there's a Brad Pitt movie coming out anytime soon, got to be there. Got to get that one. At least when it comes out on rental. Because like Brad. I mean, we should watch that Troy movie one more time. Here he comes. Woo! And I don't get it because, I mean, you live with this. But I don't want to be an idol for anybody. So, you know, I keep it in perspective. But there's a lot of idolatry that goes on. I can't believe all the foolishness. I can't believe how Hollywood, we should knock an L out of Hollywood and make it Hollywood. Amen? I'm glad for what Josh and Janet are doing down there. I'm glad they want to go back. I'm going to go down and go on the red carpet and go, howdy doody, how you doing? You know, go there and have a wild party in Paramount Studios. Have the wildest party they ever saw. And people say, we've been drunk on this foolishness, and you mean we get to have this? Get so drunk on something wonderful. But you know what? If the church is going to keep on doing dull, old, rotten, ugly religion, who cares? I mean, I'd rather go see a Brad Pitt movie than go to most services. Clint Eastwood. Go ahead, make my day. Ashdod, that place, we want to take that place. We want to deal with that spirit that's got people drunk on idolatry and prostitution and the smut and the sexual immorality that's bursting out through all of that. You know what? Who's going to change that? My God. Oh, let's pray. Oh, God, do something about that. Oh, my God, I can't take it anymore. I can't even watch a half-hour TV without stupidity. You know what? How are you going to do something about it? We got to do more than pray about it. We got to go down there and take it back. Yeah, okay. Okay, let's move on. Gerbaal. Gerbaal is literally the seat of government. Gerbaal is a place, it was a place of law and philosophy. It was a place where men came and they reasoned together and they talked about things. And see, we've got that today. We've got to take back the seat of government. Not because taking back the seat of government is going to change the world, but you know what? We have people. I'm so glad Ryan Dolby is running for to be an MP. He's not here today because he could be upstairs, or he's out. Is Laura here? Are they doing nursery duty today? God bless him. Because I told Ryan, we got to pray for him. You know, he's running for the NDP party. I don't know what that means. But you know what? I would vote for Ryan anytime. I tell you. And Ryan prayed with him last week because he's talking about the conflicts that, you know, some of his cohorts, they've got a lot of different views than Ryan does, you know. And he says, I'm kind of conflicted in some of the things. But I said, you know what? God's not a conservative, Ryan. He's not a liberal. He's not in the Green Party. He's not in the NDP. But you know what? If you'll get in there, if you'll give God half an opportunity to bless you, you can be a person of influence in there. Right now, you're influencing the NDP party from where you are. And it's wonderful. It's fantastic. And you know what? Some of you people got to rise up. You know what? You should be running for stuff. I just want a 2-car garage. And, you know, skip that. Sell the thing. Go into politics. That could be the call of God in your life. We got to, let me move on. Let me go on. Next one is the Mehians. These were people of the high place. These are people of the high mountains. And these were people that says that these people regularly stole a lot of Israel's sheep. These people would go down and steal the sheep. And you know what? That happens today because there's sensual ministries and there's ministries that are all full of new age and stupidity and foolishness. And they're trapping the minds of weak people. And people are going off into these weird philosophies and weird things. But you know, we have to be a people who know what it is to manifest true religion. You know what I love about this church is we're not just out there having angelic visitations, all kinds of stuff, and believing for anything that can happen. We're also reaching the lost, touching the lost, feeding the hungry, touching the widows, touching those who don't have. And you know what? Double dog dare you to try to say we're not doing true religion. You can't do this without the Spirit of God on you. You know what? They deceive many people. There's the new age. There's sensual teachings and ministries that are taking people aside and causing the truth to be messed up. We need to take back that area. The last one. Can you say last one? I should have taken more time with this sermon, but I hope you got it because it's spirit to spirit. It's not notebook to notebook. I pray your spirit got it. But the Ammonites, now this is a neat one because the Ammonites were descendants of Lot's youngest son. Lot's youngest son was a bit of a nut. But Lot, this is the amazing thing. When you study the Ammonites, whenever there was a conflict, whenever somebody attacked Israel, the Ammonites would say, oh, are you attacking Israel? Oh, I'm in for that. Where are you guys going? Are you attacking Israel? Oh, I'll join you in that one. The Ammonites are people who love relational conflict. The Ammonites are people, and they're people who always join on the attacks against Israel. They're people who are always walking in unresolved offense. And whenever there's a battle or whenever there's contention, you'll be sure they'll be right in the middle of it, sharing their 2 cents worth. But you know what? That's relational difficulty and relational conflict. And you know what? The enemy's trying to attack families. He's trying to break down relationships and families. And we got to get to a place where immediate families, houses, churches, these places that relationships are proper and that families are walking and living. And we as a church need to be manifesting that we can have families that are walking in truth, walking in restoration, that we don't get messed up with little unresolved conflicts, but we know how to deal with things and we know how to get it right. Can you say amen? One more slide. And we're going to let you go. If you want to change the world, you must confront the ideas and strongholds or mindsets that shape it by new, more powerful ones. You got to come against the strongholds and mindsets that will with ones that will transform it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we revealed or we saw His power and His glory. The Word of God is in you, the living incarnate Word. You've got to take it where you are. And the Word has to come into manifestation where you are. You are a living, walking, mobile tabernacle of the Spirit of God, revealing all of the truth of the Heavenly Father. And you know what? The world is waiting for you to happen. You know, don't aim low. I mean, aim high. And in one of these 7 areas that I've talked about, there's media, there's working together. I mean, there's church, there's religion, there's finance, there's so many areas. And one of these 7 areas that are primary influencing areas of our society, you have a role to play in that. You have a role to play. You have a job to do. You know, everybody shouldn't be looking, gee, I'd like to become, you know, more influential in the church. I'd like to get one of those higher officer spots where I get to make decisions with what happens with the offering. That's not growing up in the purposes of God. I mean, believe me, there's more powerful things that God has in store for your life than that. I mean, my God, aim a little higher, for goodness sake. Why not be the prime minister? Why not be a school teacher? Why not run for council? Why not get into the media? Why not be an actor? Why not be one of those real cool, funky dancers? Why not be a superstar athlete? Why not? Oh, just I'd like a higher role of influence in the church, please. Oh, why are you aiming so low? There's so much more out there. We got lawyers here. We got doctors. We got people who can be incredible people of influence in this world, in this city, and do things. I mean, you're not coming to church just to get your weekly little fix. I mean, come on. This is just a place where we need to come in and share incredible victories. I'm praying. I want to pray for Ryan. I mean, that'd be the first time I probably prayed for anybody in the NDP party. Miracles happen. Isn't it a good day? Hey, it's awesome. But I'll pray for Ryan. I'll tell you. I'll pray for Ryan. I pray a miracle happen. You know what? I would love to pastor an MP. Be an honor, wouldn't it? We need some city councilors here. We need what do they call that? The Barack Obama syndrome. A community organizer. There you go. Didn't run a state, but I ran a community organizer. Don't want to pick on anybody, my God. Not a Democrat or a Republican either. My wife is a card-carrying one, but that's not important. Anybody feeling me today? Just a little bit? Come on, we're called to reform, people. We're called to reform. We're not just called to be a cutting-edge church that believes everything God has. We're not going to be reasoned out of the supernatural. But we're also, because we have it, there's no excuse for people to walk in the glory. You tell me you're walking in the glory and then your marriage is going to fail, I'm going to slap you. I really am. I'm going to, you know what, I don't care if you get your ministry back. You need your wife back. It's a reproach when stuff like that happens. And it's about time somebody put their foot down and said, that is enough. Because you know what? If you're walking in the glory, there's no more excuses. Everything in your life should be excellent. There, I said it. Let's stand up and let's pray. Oh my, we were supposed to pray for the healing room people. We're going to do it next week. How many healing room people came today to be prayed for? How many would be grossly offended if we did it next week? Just you? We'll pray for you. And you? Thank you. I see that hand. Any other hands right now? I feel the spirit moving. I feel the spirit of offense in the room right now. We resist that. Two hands up now. Oh, praise God. We're going to pray. I'm excited about healing rooms. You excited about healing rooms? Amen. I tell you, I know there's going to be a stream of people come in here. They're going to get healed. Isn't that wonderful? People that have been trained and know how to do this good. I mean, not just empty hands on empty heads, but we're talking people who know how to heal people. It didn't say go out there and pray for people. It said heal the sick. It didn't say pray for the sick. Get in there and heal them and don't come out until you're finished. Some people are like, my God, I might be here a long time. Well, just get it done. Come on, let's pray. Jesus, Jesus. Oh God, the burden. I feel the burden. I feel the burden. I feel the burden of God. I feel the burden for our day. I feel the burden of our time. I feel the burden. Lord God, I pray that each and every one would realize that they would lift their vision higher. Don't be afraid. Lift up your tent pegs. Pull them out. Stretch them wider. Get some poles that are bigger. I mean, the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Stretch out the realm of your influence and realize that it's bigger than that. Don't stand there on judgment day when the Lord's ready to hand out crowns and find out that you are not a good steward of the grace of God in your life. Lift up your vision. Lift it higher. Let the Lord fill you with power and energize you for a glorious purpose. Father, I pray that you would just grab hearts today. I pray that people would wrestle with you over the intentions and purposes that you have for their lives. We're tired of low living, low giving. We're tired of it all. Lord, we want to be what you called us to be. We want to take every one of those mountains back. We want to take every one of those strongholds back. We want to be the people of God that reveal the wisdom of God throughout the whole earth. So Lord God, we would say, come, impress us. Let us feel the weight. Let us feel the burden of God. Let us feel your heart and your hand and your mind. Let us be so focused on what you called us to do. So Lord, we realign us as a fellowship and as a church that, Lord, we want to be a people of influence. We refuse to be ignored. But we want to be a people of influence today who reveal the glory and the goodness of God. So, Father, heal everyone today. Bless everyone. Father, for Tom, who needs a touch right now in Jesus' name, we thank you right now. We speak to that pancreas and we command that tumor to go. We command it to go now in the name of Jesus. We speak life and we speak healing to his body. Father, for all those in this fellowship who have loved ones or others who need a blessing, in the name of Jesus, we loose the goodness of God to just minister and touch each and every one. Father, open doors like never before, and we will be so bold, so reckless that we will go through and we will honor you in all that we do. So, Lord, I command the wonderful love of our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonderful fellowship of Holy Ghost be with everyone, upon everyone, lighting their way, empowering them to do exploits for you. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.